Welcome to day 59 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards, and we're going to finish up the doctrine of assurance of grace and salvation. We'll start with Westminster Larger Catechism question 81. Are all true believers at all times assured of their present being in the estate of grace and that they shall be saved? Answer. Assurance of grace and salvation not being of the essence of faith, true believers may wait long before they obtain it, and after the enjoyment thereof may have it weakened and intermitted through manifold distempers, sins, temptations, and desertions. Yet they are never left without such a presence and support of the Spirit of God as keeps them from sinking into utter despair. So the first phrase, assurance of grace and salvation not being the essence of faith, Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. True believers may wait long before they obtain that assurance. Isaiah 50:10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Psalm 88, selected verses throughout the psalm. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hand unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted, and so forth. And after the enjoyment of assurance, they may have it weakened and intermitted through manifold distempers, sins, temptations, and desertions. The Catechism refers us to Psalm 77 from verse 1 to the 12th verse. We'll look at a few of those verses. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? And so forth. Song of Solomon 5:2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? I opened it to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Psalm 51:8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalm 31:22. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Psalm 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Yet they are never left without such a presence and support of the Spirit of God as keeps them from sinking into utter despair. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Psalm 73:15. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Isaiah 54:7-10. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Now we'll go back to the confession of faith and finish up chapter 18, and we're at section 3. This infallible assurance does not so belong to the essence of faith, but that a true believer may wait long and conflict with many difficulties before he be partaker of it. Yet being enabled by the Spirit to know the things which are freely given him of God, he may, without extraordinary revelation in the right use of ordinary means, attain thereunto. And therefore it is the duty of everyone to give all diligence to make his calling and election sure, that thereby his heart may be enlarged in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in love and thankfulness to God, and in strength and cheerfulness in the duties of obedience, the proper fruits of this assurance, so far is it from inclining men to looseness. Okay, the first phrase, similar to what we saw in question 81, this infallible assurance does not so belong to the essence of faith, but that a true believer may wait long and conflict with many difficulties before he be partaker of it. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Isaiah 50:10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Mark 9:24, and straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And we're told to see Psalm 88 throughout, and Psalm 77 to the 12th verse. We read a few verses under question 81. Yet, being enabled by the Spirit to know the things which are freely given him of God, he may, without extraordinary revelation, in the right use of ordinary means, attain thereunto, that is, unto that infallible assurance. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And therefore it is the duty of every one to give all diligence to make his calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. That thereby his heart may be enlarged in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in love and thankfulness to God, and in strength and cheerfulness in the duties of obedience, the proper fruits of this assurance, so far it is from inclining men to looseness. Okay, just the fact that our heart may be enlarged in strength and cheerfulness in the duties of obedience. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God of our the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Psalm 4:6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. And Psalm 119:32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So all this strength and cheerfulness in the duties of obedience is the proper fruits of this assurance, so far is it from inclining men to looseness, just as they have assurance. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Psalm 130, verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Finally, section 4 of chapter 18 on assurance of grace and salvation. True believers may have the assurance of their salvation diverse ways shaken, diminished, and intermitted, as by negligence in preserving of it, by falling into some special sin which wounds the conscience and grieves the spirit, by some sudden or vehement temptation, by God's withdrawing the light of his countenance, and suffering even such as fear him to walk in darkness and have no light. Yet are they never so utterly destitute of that seed of God and life of faith, that love of Christ and the brethren, that sincerity of heart and conscience of duty, out of which, by the operation of the Spirit, this assurance may, in due time, be revived, and by the which, in the meantime, they are supported from utter despair. Okay, the first phrase, that true believers may have the assurance of their salvation in different ways, shaken by all these different means. We look at Song of Solomon 5, which we read above under question 81. Psalm 51, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Psalm 77, which we read up above. Matthew 26:69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came up to him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But Peter denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Psalm 31:22, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee." Psalm 88 throughout is recommended, but we don't have time to read the whole psalm, and Isaiah 50:10, which we also read above. The second section of section 4, the second phrase of the answer, is that although true believers may have this assurance shaken, diminished, and intermitted, yet are they never so utterly destitute of that seed of God and life of faith, that love of Christ and the brethren, that sincerity of heart and conscience of duty, out of which, by the operation of the Spirit, this assurance may in due time be revived. 1 John 3:9, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Luke 22:32, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren," which of course goes back to the verse in Matthew 26 when Peter denied Christ. Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Psalm 73:15, "If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children." And Psalm 51:8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And again, Isaiah 50:10, which we've already read. Finally, by the operation of the Spirit, and which this assurance may be revived, in the meantime, believers are supported from utter despair. Micah 7:7, "Therefore, I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness." Jeremiah 32:40, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me." Isaiah 54:7, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord the Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." And Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" And Psalm 88 recommended to read the entire psalm. That concludes the study of assurance, that it's a battle, but that it is a promise. And that it is also not something that should, just because we have assurance of salvation, that that should lead to looseness, but that it actually strengthens and gives us cheerfulness in the duties of obedience. And now tomorrow, we'll start looking at the duties of obedience as we come to chapter 19 of the Confession on the Law of God.